The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. And we are here with our producer, Sleepy.
Good morning.
How are you, Sleepy?
Not Joe.
Not Joe Sleepy.
Not Joe Sleepy. We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. And we have a couple of quick announcements here on Jefferson State of Mind. We did a couple of podcasts, one with newly elected Supervisor Kevin Kiley and one with newly elected...
Wait.
Kevin Kiley?
Did I say Kevin Kiley?
Yes, you did.
Well, because he is newly elected in Congress.
Yeah, he's in Congress. Yeah, he's not
we haven't interviewed him yet?
No.
Who was the guy's name? Was it Kevin Cry? Is that who it was?
I don't know. You did the interviews.
That's right. You weren't with me.
Uh-uh.
You were there in spirit.
So you tell us who.
I will. Kevin Cry.
You need to take your pills.
And Chris Kellstrom. Yeah. I need to do something. And Chris Kellstrom. And they are out now on Mountaintop Media. You can go to Mountaintop Media, go to Jefferson State of Mind, or you can go to Patriot State of Mind. And both those interviews are on there. They're also on Facebook, and they will be on Rumble, and we will be sharing like crazy this afternoon. Very good interviews on those two. And talking about supervisors, we have the newly elected chairman of the board of Shasta County, Patrick Jones. How are you, buddy?
Hey, very good. Thank you guys for having me, as always.
Yep, and his better half.
Yeah.
And the smartest person in the room.
Yep.
His wife, Lori.
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
So, my friend, we'd like to know the state of the county. When we first had the...
What, you can't tell?
Is Wynn here yet? The last meeting we had, I mean, it really looked like there was more done in that meeting than I'd seen done in the prior 6 months. And I'd like you to just kind of give us an overview of what's going on in our county and the state of our county and where you can, where you believe we're going. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Terry. You know, but we did get a lot done last year, particularly after February, after the recall of Supervisor Leonard Modi, with myself, Chairman Baugh, and newly elected Supervisor Tim Garmon. We were able to do a lot more than normal. And so for January 10th, that was the first meeting of the year, and we had two new supervisors, which was nice, Supervisor Kellstrom and Supervisor Cry, and they're off to very good starts. And then we did our reorganization, which put me from vice chair to chair, and that's normally what you would do in the first meeting of the year, and this one just happened to be on January 10th. So now I am Chair Jones for the remainder of this year, and that may scare the hell out of a few folks. But
you make Lori call you that at home.
But we will run good meetings, and we will get a lot done this year. This board, I think, is very much has a sense of urgency to get things done, and I don't think you'll see some things that have happened in the past happen in the future. This board truly wants to solve problems and move things forward, and so I'm excited about that. And our first meeting was jam-packed. We didn't get out until 7 o'clock that night, so that was probably the longest meeting I've had so far with the county. And, you know, for example, one of the things that Supervisor Kellstrom ran on was term limits, and that was on the agenda. We discussed it, and by a unanimous vote, that will move forward now. County Council will come back with some legal language, and then we will approve that, and then it'll go on to the next general election for the voters to either approve or not. And I'm pretty sure if you ask the voters, would they like to have two terms as the limit for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, I'm pretty sure they're going to say yes on that. And we all approve that. And that's something that's, you know, has never been done before from the board. And it was something that Supervisor Kellstrom ran on, and the board unanimously approved that. And I'm pretty sure the voters will, too. Now, anything that's done can be undone. So a future board could also put it back on for the voters, and then the voters would have a chance to undo that if they felt that it was inappropriate. That'll be seen later, but I'm pretty excited about the term limits, and I'm definitely in favor of those. Also, Supervisor Cry had talked to me prior about wanting to do something with the problems that we have with recruiting, and we definitely need to do some different things with regards to recruiting. So Supervisor Cry made a motion. It was seconded and approved by unanimous vote to bring back to the board a reserve correctional officer possibility with other options for recruiting, and this is specific to correctional officers and sheriff deputies, but the main thing right now is getting that jail fully staffed so that we can, you know, reopen the floor that has shut down, and Supervisor Cry is leading that effort, and again, a sense of urgency. And then we also had on our first meeting a pretty interesting discussion about the remodel of courtroom 1 and 2. So if people aren't familiar with the courtroom 1 and 2, that is connected to the current Shasta County Jail. And as the jail is now soon will be going across the street to their new building, those two courtrooms will be remodeled to suit whatever purpose that we need. And contemplating a new 256-bed jail due north of that site, these two structures will be very important to be able to accommodate and to help that. And so we moved that forward along. That did pass with a particular architect for an engineering firm on a 4-1, and so I'm excited about that. And, you know, and great opportunity here to actually get that jail done. Two previous times in the past, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors failed to take advantage of any grant money and get more people incarcerated that need to be incarcerated. We need to hold people accountable for the actions, and it certainly is felt if you talk to community members, this booking and releasing, or not even booking, just giving a person a citation is not working. And being able to take 256 people off the street, more than what we have, is going to be a help for Shasta County. And so we're moving fast on that. And I would expect that we will break ground on that project, you know, within a year's time, roughly within a year's time. We will move very fast on that. And it isn't an easy project to do. It's roughly $110 million. That's going to be probably the most expensive project the county has ever undertaken. Half of it, or maybe a little less than half, will be monies saved from various other programs and various things, and then the other half will be financed. So it's not an easy task to do that. I believe we have the ability to do that. Now, also at this last meeting on January 10th, we had a reasonable discussion about the sheriff doing some town hall meetings and some off-site location possibilities. And I think we've pretty well put that to rest in that, yes, we would like to do a 1,000-bed facility on an off-site location. We would all like to do that. I don't think anybody would be opposed to that. The problem is there is no ability to finance something that's going to be $500 million or possibly more. We do not have that possibility. And so why are we talking about something that we can't do? let's talk about things we can do. And what we can do is the 256-bed facility due north of the current jail. And so we moved forward on that. We asked staff to look at all funding possibilities for that site. We also directed staff to move forward on CEQA, which is the governmental process, environmental concerns and things that need to be done there if in fact there are some factors that are unknown. We will be able to see those and mitigate those. So a lot of stuff happening at that first meeting, and a lot of closed session items as well, which is fairly normal for the board. We have open session items, which obviously we do our work in the open, and we have public comment on every item, and I'll try to be very good about that. I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to speak to every item on the agenda. And then the closed session items are things that are matters of personnel and possible litigation and things like that, where if we did that type of work out in the open, it wouldn't be beneficial to the taxpayers for Shasta County when you're trying to negotiate something or you have a possible lawsuit. You wouldn't want to play your hand or show your hand, for example. So we have some limited abilities to talk about things in closed session. They're very limited, and they are on the agenda. And anyone also has the ability to speak to those as before we go into closed session, you can speak to those items. And then there, if there is any final decisions made, we will come back out of closed session and then report those. Oftentimes there is no reportable action because it's ongoing and we haven't gotten to a final. We will try, and in fact I will try, to be as transparent as possible. Some people have said and have complained that when we come out of closed session, there was no reportable action, but yet we spent 2 hours discussing a particular item. And we will try to report out as soon as possible to give the public an idea of what we're doing as opposed to not reporting out. But again, we want to protect the taxpayers and the citizens of Shasta County. And, you know, so that's the general process. So we started off to a really good year. Two new board members. The board is excited about getting things done. And, you know, from the first meeting, you know, so many people, we had a ton of good speakers come forward, a lot of good points. Some of the discussions were things that we were taking action on that day, and a lot of other things we will be taking action on, just they weren't agendized, like the homeless issue and things like that, mental health. All these issues are going to be dealt with, and you know, and once they get agendized, we will be dealing with each of those items. And again, this board, I believe, has a sense of urgency. I don't think you're going to see them, you know, wasting a lot of time. And we have an opportunity right now this year to get as much done as possible, and I think we will.
Well, you guys are going to be leading by example, so that's huge. And that's pretty much what the platforms were that you guys all ran on. You wanted to get stuff done. Let's get it done, get it done. So now you're in that position and able to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, when you look back over 2 years, what a change.
Yeah, it's a huge change.
Huge change.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about that off-site facility, one of the things that was proven at the supervisors' meeting is there was never a plan to raise the money. And when you look at $500 million today, when this thing would be completed 10 years from now, it would be a minimum of $1.5 billion.
Well,
you know, and so I don't know what these people were.
Well, let's look at something. Let's look at a fairly large project similar that occurred when I was at Reading City Hall, was the Stillwater Business Park.
Right.
It was estimated to be at $6 million. Soon it escalated to 12 and then 20, and then we didn't even know what the price would be. Half of it had to be set aside because of environmental concerns, so half of the total acreage had to be set aside. And when it was all said and done, $60 million. So it went from $6 million to $60 million, a 10-times increase.
10 times the amount. Yeah, I mean, it just...
And so if we're talking a half-billion-dollar project...
Could be $3 billion.
You have a potential for really escalating. And, and
ridiculous.
You know, and I guess I am disappointed in the sheriff.
Oh,
in
man.
That, you know, I actually really did want to look at some possibilities of off-sites to get the community involved in looking at the different sites in and around the city in county property that would be close to sewer and water hookups. Is there any sites that are possible long-term project sites that would be good for this. And we didn't get that. We got kind of the sales pitch on a particular plan, unfunded plan, not a possibility of what sites would be appropriate. The piece of property that the county owns off of Airport Road that was discussed was a former landfill. And it is very limited as to what you can do on that piece of property. And that was actually my least favorite site. I was looking at other sites and wanted the community to engage to see if you are okay with having a jail in your backyard. Mm-hmm. We didn't get that far. And so I'm a little disappointed there that we didn't have those discussions, because that's what we allocated the $25,000 for, was to have town hall meetings to look at possible site selections for this facility long term. So we put that to rest, though. I think the board has been very clear now that we're going to focus in on a new 256 state-of-the-art facility that has programming and a lot of activity where we can have other people come in and be able to work with the inmates so that we can have some better results as they exit the program.
Okay. Could you also clear something up where they said that, well, it's only a temporary fix because only 256 beds. I know that there is room for expansion, but that isn't talked about very much at the current site, so they think it's going to be outdated in a short time, and that's not true.
Yeah, and so, you know, the 200, that's a good point, and what we're moving forward with is what we can afford, which is a structure that is 256 beds, roughly, give or take. The design is not set in stone yet. In the future, a future board, and maybe this board, if we're able to apply and receive a grant, we could possibly move to the next pod, which would be right next door. That would also be approximately 256 beds. Mm-hmm. And we have the ability to do that once the old jail is demolished, once the old courthouse is demolished, because we have a new one up across the street on Court Street now, and that is the plan. We will have around 6 acres there to be able to expand when monies are available, mm-hmm. to be able to get to the 1,000 beds. Mm-hmm. And most people believe that that is the number that we would ultimately need to move us forward. And that all can be done at the downtown location. And the reality is there isn't a lot of complaint at the downtown location because the jail is already there and it's had a long presence there. The courthouse is there. The attorneys are there. The bail bondsmen are there. Probation is built there. Everything is right there. Yeah. And we own the land. And sewer and water is there. And there's really no environmental concerns. And so it is the right spot to do it.
We do have a caller on the line. Gary, what say you, sir?
Well, ordinarily I'd be bringing up the subject of the windmills coming back. The state wants to come back and throw that back on us again. But that is really not why I called this morning.
Okay.
I attended the last meeting, and it was really nice to see the change in the board. But I have a problem with the board as a whole. When the meetings start, we are told to either turn off or silence our cell phones, which is a pretty good idea. And I think that a lot of us do have our cell phones on, but we do have them silenced where they don't interrupt the meetings, or at least not to where I've heard. But I think I called this morning that there are some members on the board that seem to think that it's their God-given right to have their cell phone on during the meeting, and then be looking down and even answering while the meetings are going on. So I would gather that this conversation I'm bringing this morning is directed at the members of the Board of Supervisors to turn your phones off.
Who would that be?
I know.
Who would that be?
I just do not say. well, I mean, Jerry, you and we're at the meetings. We see it all the time. But
thank you, Gary.
Some people think that the cell phone was welded to their hand at some point in their life. When it's not, I use my cell phone, but I use it when I can use it, and not when it's it's causing a problem. And with the board members, even other people, as insignificant number one and number two got up at the last meeting and spoke to a very important issue. And then they look over and a member is looking down, playing with their phone. Well, did they hear anything that insignificant one and insignificant two, what they said? They're there to represent us. We're not there to talk to them and give them some ideas. We're there to tell them what it is that we want, and that's for everybody in Shasta County. And so I am going to speak at the meeting. I believe we have one next Tuesday, but at the next meeting, let's put it that way, I will stand up and bring this issue up again in front of the offending people, and we need to bring this to an end.
Thank you, Gary.
I hear you were talking about the jail, so I will get out of here and let you guys continue the good thoughts of the jail that you're doing.
Right.
God bless y'all.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary Catt, he's a former council member. We served together back in the day on Reading City Council, and I'd mentioned Gary in open session the other day. His nickname is the polar bear, and so
white bear.
There we go. I still call him polar bear. But me and Gary worked well together on and tried to tackle some pretty serious issues at City Hall, and I have mentioned in open session before that I would appreciate cell phones to be silenced, so hopefully that does get accomplished. And I turn mine off or turn mine on to vibrate so I can't hear it during the meetings, and put it in my briefcase below me so that I can focus on the people that are coming before us to speak, because that's a very important part of the job, is to listen. And, you know, when you listen, some of these people do have some really good ideas that mm-hmm. would give you a little bit of a different point of perspective. And if you're focusing on your cell phone or something else, it's difficult to listen to the people. So Gary is correct. We should
yes.
all. In fact, right now, I want everybody to take their cell phone and throw them out the window.
Amen. Well, we did notice, too, you know, when over the last 2 years, sitting in the board meeting, you could watch board members communicating with specific citizens in the room or county staff.
Any particular board member?
Well, they're not there anymore.
One is.
Well, one still is, yes. One still is. But they would communicate, and we could sit there and watch. It was like watching a tennis match.
Yeah.
You could watch one do something, they'd smile, and then the other one would read it. They'd smile and go back and forth. So you could totally tell that there was dialogue being had, and even from the former CAO, he was big time doing it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to watch, but we sat there and just kind of watched this all unfold, so I get what Gary's saying.
Definitely.
Yeah, now when you watch and you're paying attention, you can see that, but that's where the board members need to be paying attention to the speakers and to every speaker.
Absolutely.
And, you know, every once in a while, and I know at City Hall we would have this too, every once in a while you'll get a person that is maybe not quite all there, but they still have the right to speak. And, but even those people, every once in a while, will have a good point to be made.
And there might be nuggets within that speech that they make that are truly important.
Right. And sometimes, you know, if you turn them out or tune them out and hear nothing, then you're going to get nothing back in return.
Right.
So hopefully, as this gets aired, people will start doing that. But again, I really like this board.
Yeah, definitely.
From the boards I've seen in the past, I think this board is going to work very well together. We're getting things done. We did have a 4-1 vote the other day, but mm-hmm. mostly 5-0s. Which is interesting, and I'm plenty good with 4-1s or 3-2s or things like that. There's always different ways of looking at any given problem, and
mm-hmm.
that's not unhealthy. I think it's healthy, and so that doesn't really concern me that much. But I just think this board has a sense of urgency and is ready to move forward and get things done.
Yeah, and before we go to break too, I wanted to bring up one point on those town halls the sheriff was supposed to have. The first one that he had was private. The first one he did. Oh, two of them were private. And so you had to have invitation only. So we give him money to talk to the people about what he believes we should do, or what he believes that the people want, or whatever the case may be. And he has two private meetings, and then the third one, he didn't even show up at the library. And to me, I mean, I have a really, really hard time with the accountability of the sheriff. Anyway, in saying that, we're going to have to go off to our first break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
River in a little tent, and oh, just like that river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at shastacollege.edu.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, sending out congratulations to Seth Overton. He was the winner of our Black Bear Diner contest. He picked up a $150 gift certificate from Black Bear Diner. And we would like to thank all of those who participated in the Black Bear Diner contest on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com.
As we head into the new year, change is in the air, and we welcome Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. If the address sounds familiar, it's because owners Michelle and Jerry have been at the same location for over 12 years, and the business originally opened 27 years ago. Here's the thing. Michelle and Jerry know how important their customers are and wanted to offer you more personalized service. As the owners of Crossroads Auto Body Repair, they wanted to provide you with continued great service and add more value to your dollar. Now there's no need to wait so long for a free estimate. We'll get you back on the road. Call Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 530-226-0992. New name, same great service and more. Crossroads Auto Body Repair at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Shasta College is now offering 2 years of free tuition for full-time students. Spring semester begins January 17th. Advance your career, learn a new skill, or get transfer ready. 8-week online or in-person classes available. Enroll at shastacollege.edu.
I will not comply. Quit trying to take me to task, because I don't want to wear a mask or take a vaccine that could maybe make me die. They got no scientific evidence to back that crap up. All they do is feed us lie after lie. That's why I will not comply. Now, since back last March, I've had an achy, breaky heart like old Billy Ray Cyrus. I've been catching a case of the blues from the news around this damn coronavirus.
Yeah!
Now they're telling us we gotta keep our chin divers up, even if we got the shot in the arm. Nobody's talking about exercise or eating food that's fresh grown from the farm.
Yes, sir. Sally Lou. Did Sally Lou send that in?
Yeah.
Yep. Had a girl, honey. It's a good one to send in. The only thing bad about that is we had to watch Wynn dance.
Yeah. We
told them never to do that again.
Right.
Especially in front of women.
You know, on that point, Terry, very quickly, you know, with all that COVID was ultimately leading to the termination of our health officer, we do have this year, and this will be coming before the board here shortly. We're already discussing it in closed session, but the health officer and how we're going to handle that moving forward. And I think there's going to be some exciting news soon on that.
Well, let's talk about that if you can after the we take this call. How you doing, Nick? What's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing terrific. I was listening about the supervisor that's on their cell phone, and I would wager that it's Mary Rickard talking with Leonard Modi. And maybe we could put some wagers on that and subpoena her cell phone records to find out if that's true. But furthermore, I believe that there is a segment here in Shasta County that leans way left, and I think Leonard's leading the charge, to sabotage everything you guys can do. And I hope you're aware of that and I'm figuring out some way to combat it. And as an example, I want to go back to Measure A with Joe Comente. And McGraney came out with their tower right next to the existing tower, and they were going to hitchhike on all the services, laundry, cafeteria, and all that kind of stuff. And now 2 years later, all of a sudden, it's falling down with doors rusting off on their hinges. What do you got to say about that? Is that jail in that bad a shape?
Good question, Nick. And to be honest, I had never had the opportunity to walk through the jail. I had been asking for a year, and then recently I was able to do a tour through the jail, and I was pleasantly surprised not only with the professionalism with our sheriff deputies that run the facility, but how clean and tidy the facility was and how orderly it was. There were no towels laying around. The inmates were highly supervised. They had shoes, pants, and a shirt on at all times if they were out on the corridor. The rooms were clean. The doors were all replaced. It was very clean, and it's ran well. And, in fact, we recently had an expert take a look at this facility and said it's in very good shape. And so we have spent millions recently to upgrade ADA improvements and such to keep it in good shape. So, yeah, do we want to keep this thing forever? No. Has it reached its normal potential of life? Yes. But it certainly can last us another 5, 10, or 20 years if we need it. My point of being able to build a new facility next door is that I think that once that new facility with lower labor, greater services, greater efficiencies, and better better results with our inmates coming out will motivate the next board to do it again and again as quick as we can afford to do it and live within our means without asking the taxpayers to cough up more money than they already are. I'm unwilling to do that at any cost. And the reason why is we're already overtaxed in California. And if you continue to overtax Californians, what are they doing? They're leaving. We can do this. We have a pretty good budget. We have to live within our means. We do have the potential for a recession coming soon that we'll have to be very cautious with. And I think we've been very conservative in how we've done things this last year. And I think this year will be more of the same. But we're going to accomplish that new facility right next door, and I'm excited about it. I am the liaison to the jail project. Of course, I've never had a meeting yet. Somehow I've been missed in that. But that's going to change now.
So it's not falling down like they're claiming?
Not at all.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Also with that, when you were talking about, you know, the time between not being able to get meetings and whatnot with, say, department heads. You've been on this board for how long?
2 years.
2 years. Wow. And there are still departments that you have not visited with yet, right?
Correct.
But the newer board members already have.
Correct.
So what the hell are these department heads scared of?
Well, you don't have to be scared of me. I'm not that scary. Sometimes I am. But most of the time I'm not. No, they just, I think, when I first got on, given the makeup of the board at that time, they pretty well kind of kept me at a distance. And I'm used to that because I got the same treatment at City Hall for a while, too. So I was prepared for that. I still read my staff reports and did a lot of talking to various people. I talk to people every day. There's not a day that goes by 6 days a week, 7 days a week that I'm not engaged with the community, talking with people, having meetings every day to learn this job. And that's exactly what I did when I was at City Hall to make sure that you can do the job the best that you can. And I know the majority of the board members today, that's what they do as well. They've already been very much engaged, and it is good to talk to the department heads, and I am talking to more of them now. And we're also in the process now of having some new members of our staff. CEO position, we're recruiting now. We're going to start for the recruiting for the county council soon. Mm-hmm. Those are big. I've already talked about the health officer, and then we have some other things that we're doing within the county to streamline a few things and to make it better and more productivity. What we want to take a look at is programs, how we're doing them, are they efficient, and if not, let's change them, and then evaluate it in a year. And if it's not better, then be honest about it and say that didn't work. Let's do something different. But clearly, some of these programs, they need to change. Enabling bad behavior that you're trying to fix is not working. And we want to use taxpayers' money wisely, and we want programs to work and solve problems, not create the very thing that we're trying to eliminate. And, you know, we have 100 programs within the county, and that's a big task. Luckily, the Health and Human Service Director, Laura Birch, is doing a good job starting to dig in on that and to learn where we can be better. And I think the entire board is behind her in that effort. And it's probably the biggest effort internally that's going on right now that the public.
So you're
going
to clean up some redundancy within departments and so forth?
Correct. If things are overlapping, they can be streamlined. They can
absolutely
work together, communicate better.
Right.
Let's talk about these programs more with the board members, more with the public. Let the public know what we're doing.
Yes.
And then we can be scrutinized to what's not working or what is.
Right.
We can be praised when something is working well, and then we should change something that's not. And clearly, that's going to be the recipe for success.
Absolutely.
Now, there's been a new twist on the windmill situation.
Yes.
The state's leaping into that. You want to spend a little time on that.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel sorry for the folks up and around Mountain Montgomery Creek because they fought pretty hard to stop the Fountain Wind project from coming in right in their back door. And the Shasta County Planning Commission listened to them, and so did the Board of Supervisors, and we denied that project. And while there would have been a lot of good jobs there, and that's undeniable, the folks did not want this in their backyard, and there would have been unmitigatable problems with these turbines, and there would be more to come. And you know, with the Hatchet Wind project already existing, it kind of signaled for the next company to, hey, the light is green, come on in. And these would be twice as big as those.
Right.
But that was stopped here in Shasta County. The board listened to the people and acted upon what the people wanted in their backyard. And I think it was the appropriate decision. Now, and I think based directly off of what we did in Shasta County, quickly in the assembly, they passed AB 205 that is going to bypass local control and allow the state to push forward with these projects. So I made a motion at the last meeting. It was seconded and passed unanimously to use all legal means necessary to work on this and to defy the state. I think this is going to be a defining moment that when we make a local decision in the state, then clearly comes around the backside of us and tries to strip us of our local control. It just happens to be on the wind project right now, but in the future it'll be on other projects, and now's the time to stand up and fight. And I think other counties will join us in this most likely legal process. We think the state has overstepped their bounds, and I think it's time to litigate.
Well, it's your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
As the elected officials for the county, excuse me, why stop there? If you're looking at the wind project that the state's trying to do, what about the feds who were dealing with the water issues?
Correct.
That's huge. I mean, that truly, really affected everybody as well. So why not jump on the bandwagon for that as well?
Well, and I think this is one of those defining times. It's pretty scary to take on the state of California and the legislature with an action that they did. But as I was telling someone the other day, I think we'll all be judged in time. We will all be judged in time. And the question is, when it was time for you to act, did you act or did you not? And this is one of those times that action needs to take place by this board.
And it takes just one county to do it, because then your neighboring counties or other counties throughout the state may step up and do the exact same thing.
Correct. And I think they will. And this board unanimously moved this forward to the next step. It will come back. County Council will research it and lay out some possibilities for us to move forward. So,
all right,
again, I think you're going to see a lot of good positive things. We're listening to the public, and we're going to act upon what we hear, and we're going to represent the people, and that's what it's all about.
Awesome.
Good. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you talk about federal jurisdiction, that's completely different than state jurisdiction. They're going to claim they have the jurisdiction because it went through the legislative body and passed as law.
Correct.
You know,
doesn't make it lawful.
Well, yeah, I know. Well,
I heard somebody else has said that a few times.
The way you fight it, we can go to court and do all that stuff, is noncompliance. I just don't see how some of these things are going to be able to be stopped unless we just say no and then see what they do.
Right.
Now, to be prepared and have our arrows in our quiver is one thing, but to,
right.
You know, on this thing, we just have to say no and then see what they do. I mean, because really and truly, it's going to be hard to get it through any court in California that the California legislative body with law doesn't have jurisdiction. So I mean.
Well, I think, you know, on this, I think, again, I really think it's a defining moment in that
yes.
The board has spoken very clearly.
Yes.
Unanimously.
And the people.
And the people.
Yes.
And here the state comes right around, and I think yep. They were specifically looking at the Fountain Wind project, that if we were able to stop it here in Shasta County, that they were going to nip that in the bud and circumvent that. And that is what they did.
It is what they
so,
did.
So now it's incumbent on us to, they're challenging us. Is what they're doing as to what are you going to do about it now. So the board has taken action, and I don't think we're going to allow this dog to lie.
I love it. You know, and I think that's going to be a lot more of what we do. Also, when it comes to the federal situation that we have with some of these water issues, there is jurisdiction there
yeah.
for the sheriff even. And if we ever had a constitutional sheriff or somebody who just followed the Constitution, that'd be nice.
The Constitution is nice. And speaking of the Constitution, on a future meeting coming up very quickly, our first night meeting of the year will be February 21st.
Okay.
And on that agenda will be the CRPA, California Rifle and Pistol Association, Second Amendment Resolution. And we'll be able to talk about that. Representatives from the CRPA will be at the boardroom for discussion. And that will be up for a vote for modification, leaving it as it exists, changing it, or so forth. And that will be up for the board to decide.
I've always had a question because I read the last resolution. I don't know if it's the same one, but the last one they wrote. And it would basically say again, noncompliance to the state laws that we have for the Second Amendment. I mean, you know, I've never understood how they can get through with that anyway. And I do know that the sheriff does have jurisdiction over that. And it may only be for our county. But again, you know, I hate to keep going back on the sheriff, but it seems to be a running theme that we continually have.
Well, I'm excited about this particular one, obviously, because it's the Second Amendment, and in my normal life,
yes.
That is my entire life. And so this is very important to me, and it is also important to me because around a year and a half ago, this resolution came forward,
right.
And not only did the board at that time turn it down, but I believe Supervisor Modi said, we're voting this down, and it shall never return to Shasta County Board of Supervisors again, which he has no legal authority to do that. And so with that, if Leonard, you're listening, you can kiss my ass, because that is coming back on the 21st.
We are okay with that word, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. Right. Aren't we, Liam? We're good with that word, aren't we?
It has to do with context. So.
Well, I might kiss my buttocks. You feces. So, yeah, anyway, that's okay. Well, moving on. You know, I think I think the Second Amendment thing, and I, you know, I hear you. It gets to a point to where who has the jurisdiction? No one to tell you that they won't allow a right like our sheriff's done. And I know that that's sort of, but it's very frustrating because when you have a situation where you have a guy who went down to a constitutional sheriff meeting, was taken down by a couple of our citizens here, and you have a situation where these particular people that took him down, went down there, believed that they were doing the right thing, and he has not done anything constitutionally. In fact, when he shut the floor of the jail, which is very frustrating, did he ever even notify the Board of Supervisors?
No, I mean, he didn't notify me. I know he didn't notify, and I was vice chair, and he didn't notify Chair Baugh. And so I was, you know, obviously frustrated to have to read that in the paper. And I did mention that in open session that, you know, if the sheriff had come to us several months before and said, hey, I'm having trouble. We're going to need to do something aggressive to get some recruiting going on. You know, what can we do here? That the board would have certainly listened. You know, we have high hopes for our new sheriff, and we want to work together. And the whole county will be better if we work together. And the board is pretty united on some of these issues. So I'm still hopeful that the sheriff is going to respect the position of the board as we move forward. And we will respect the sheriff in, you know, in the decisions that are for the betterment of our county. The other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, a big issue is the homelessness issue. And we, of course, we see it in the city of Reading. We see it in the county. And one of the interesting things on Christmas Eve, me and my wife, Lori, we decided that we would, instead of me buying my new suit for the new year at JCPenney's, we would buy some breakfast sandwiches and cook them. So you're going to see me in my blue suit for a while. But eventually I will get a new suit. But it was well worth it to get out at near MLK and feed the homeless, to see the problem firsthand. Now, we know feeding in this type of program isn't going to solve the problem. But you can't solve a problem if you don't see it. And I know Supervisor Cry has been out to MLK now for months and months and months every Saturday. He's going out into the canyon beyond interviewing. He was out there yesterday, with Health and Human Services Director Laura Birch, helping try to get some of these people, analyzing what they need and see if there's services that are available for them. And he's already having some success, and he's only been on the job one meeting so far. And those are the types of things that I think you're going to see out of these new board members. Proactive, getting staff involved, getting down on the ground, solving real-life problems, and moving forward and then reporting back to the board. And if more support is needed, more direction, then we'll take a vote and go from there.
We do have Mark Baird on the line. Mark, we only got a couple of minutes here, buddy. What's up?
He's gone now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, buddy. Talk to you later. Anyway, what we could do is get a GoFundMe account to get Patrick a suit at Goodwill.
Well, I'm kind of partial to my suits at JCPenney's, not because they necessarily have the best suits, but when I was at City Hall, I'd scraped up enough money to get a suit, and when I was campaigning, and I had a pretty prominent gentleman in town say, "You're never going to win with a suit like that," and well, I won in a suit like that, and was reelected in a suit like that, and was elected to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors in a suit like that. Sometimes it's not the suit that matters; it's the content of what you believe and what you say.
Most ball players are superstitious, and they just don't wash their uniforms when they're winning. So maybe that's another avenue if you need to. But yeah, you know, we've got about 5 minutes here, and I want you to maybe give us a glimmer of where you see things going and where you think the next place we need to go is in this county.
I'm just excited about the whole entire year. We have a lot of work to do. Every meeting is not going to be taken advantage of. We're not going to just simply, oh, here's another meeting, let's get through it. These are opportunities. Every meeting that we have, and we have more meetings this year than we've had in quite a few years, and we have 4 night meetings, these are going to be opportunities to get things done and to make some changes within the county, and we believe for the better. And so to me, that's an exciting time. For example, very soon, it is likely that we will see the Dominion voting machine contract come up for a vote. And that's a big deal. I'm not happy with representatives from Dominion. I'm not happy with machines. They present a doubt for me, and I don't like that. I don't like not knowing exactly what's happening with those machines, and I have some serious doubts with them. And so that's going to come to the board soon, and then we will vote on that contract. Now, what we do thereafter is another topic. But I think that'll send a strong message that we are not happy with what we're seeing. Half of the country is not happy with what we're seeing within our elections. And it doesn't mean that there's cheating every time on every campaign or every election cycle. But when we see something at a certain time, it needs to be dealt with in order to restore trust with the voters. And that's not happening. And I think the machines are part of it. And I think there's more. But that's coming too. And just a lot of different topics that will be coming up. And these new board members too, they have a lot of ideas. And they will be bringing those forward as well. And most of those we're going to get on that agenda and move forward. Now, if a board member wants a new Cadillac, yeah, that's probably
not going
to be on the board. But if it's something that makes the lives of Shasta County residents better, that's going on the agenda.
Yeah, you know, I think that these two new board members are also, I think you're right about what you're saying. They're hands-on in the community. You always have been. I mean, you're tremendously accessible. Gosh, 8 hours a day, sometimes even more than that, sometimes 10, 12 hours a day. And I think that's so important that they get out in the community. And you're right, Kevin Cry's done some good things out there, getting out in the community. And Chris has been amazing.
Well, and Chris has done the very similar thing with regards to the water issues in South County. Mm-hmm. And that's how you solve problems is you immerse yourself in the various meetings, talk to as many people as possible about the problems that are happening. Kevin's doing that for the homeless issue here in Shasta County. Supervisor Kellstrom is doing this on these water issues, and
Planning Commission. He's been amazing on that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all just singing his praises the other morning on Carl Bott's Free Fire Radio show. People were in there singing his praises. It seems like people are getting their permits like overnight. They've had to wait for 3 years. You know, I think it's great because the people we have in office right now are people that care about their constituents. They care about their community, and also, more importantly, they're unafraid because they got nothing to lose. And as Janet Joplin said, you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. There's no reason for them to seek any more power or anything else. In fact, I believe Chris Kellstrom, is he like not even taking the retirement or anything?
That is correct.
Wow.
Supervisor Kellstrom is not taking the retirement, nor am I, and I haven't done that at the county or at the city. And again, because we believe in the term limits and believe being here just for a limited time, and you know, for me, I won't speak for Supervisor Kellstrom, but for me, I just didn't want to add to the burden of our unfunded liabilities that is a real problem. And, you know, if we go into another recession, you'll start seeing the greater, you know, upward pressure on the retirements. And it's a lot of money that comes out of the general fund to help pay for these things. And so I didn't want to contribute to that. Would I have liked to have had a 401k type setup? Sure, I would have loved to have that. That would have been nice. But this California public retirement system is not a good system. And, you know, and so I just didn't want to be a part of that.
Right.
You know, again, it's very unselfish of all you guys.
Well, and that's what they ran on too. You know,
it is
not doing that and showing, and now they're proving to the people what they said they're going to do.
Yeah, Chris ran on term limits.
Yeah, ran on term limits. Yeah. Not taking the retirement. Yeah, there you go. He's doing it. So
yeah, and cleaning up the Planning Commission.
You know, and in the last 2 years, four of the five supervisors that were in office are not.
Right.
And that's how much of a change has occurred in 2 years. It's tremendous. And it's really the establishment versus the non-establishment. Regular guys, not politicians.
Right.
Regular guys with regular ideas getting stuff done. And that's what we're going to be doing this year, and I think for the next year as well.
Well, it's nice to see that, you know, like you said, the regular folks that are in there doing it, they're not part of that wine and cheese crowd that are out there comparing notes to how they can best manipulate and maneuver through all the political jive through our county and get coming out on the back end of it, having their pockets full. And you know that's what's been going on here for decades, so you guys are getting in there and just saying, hey, no more, we're done.
You know, and it's true that none of us are, you know, Thursday night Rotary Club members and all the
right.
regular ways that you would typically come up through the ranks. These are just good, honest guys that are going to represent their district and their county. You couldn't have better guys in office right now.
Well, we appreciate it, and we appreciate you guys coming in.
We've had Patrick and Lori Jones. Thank you both so much. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Us, you have no clue, and still you're telling us what to do. We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new state.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.